Our sermon text is written in the first book of Moses, commonly called Genesis, the 50th chapter, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave us this command before he died. Say to Joseph, 'Forgive, I pray you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you.' And now we pray you, forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil to me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." But he reassured them and comforted them. Beloved fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord, Jacob has died, and Joseph's brothers are terrified. But with this distinction, Joseph will now take vengeance on his brothers for all of the evil things which they did unto him. As we meditate upon this text, a humorous situation comes to mind, although the text itself is not humorous. A mother walks into the room, and there she sees her children sitting around the kitchen table, and on the ceiling is a huge jar of whipping cream dripping down. In the middle of the table is an empty jar of whipping cream, and the children are looking at the mother, and they're all pointing their fingers one at another. And with Jacob dead, there were Joseph's brothers. Their sin was dripping down upon them, and they were all pointing their fingers one at another. They knew that Jacob had loved them, but their reaction to Jacob's greater love for Joseph was hatred. They knew that under Jacob's rule and household they had prospered, but when Jacob had sent Joseph out to check on them, their reaction was to pummel Joseph, sell him into slavery, and then go back to their father, Jacob, and say, "Well, Joseph has been eaten by a wild animal." When finally they found out who Joseph was, the administrator of Egypt, they could not keep from heaping recrimination upon themselves. But Joseph told them, no, they shouldn't do that, because even though they meant evil, God meant good. But even with the forgiveness offered to them, they still find that their sin was dripping down upon them, and they pointed their finger of accusation one against the other. They could not accept mercy, for the more they thought about their own sin, the more they thought of punishment. Humanly speaking, then, they thought that Joseph was just like themselves. The only thing that kept Joseph's hand back from meeting out vengeance was the fact that the father was still alive. Anyone can grasp the fact that people earn things. We all know that for all of us, sin earns death. We all know that wickedness not only merits punishment, but whether in time or in eternity, it will certainly earn its punishment. Joseph's brothers had turned their back upon the love and the prosperity and the mercy that was offered to them, and instead of being grateful for their daily bread, they were only kept up with jealousy and greediness for more. They could not fix their attention on mercy because they themselves were unmerciful, and their only restraint was fear. They did not dispose of Benjamin because they knew what disposing of Joseph had done to Jacob. In the plan of salvation, however, God had been merciful to Joseph. The only one from whom Joseph could have gotten any hope during his lengthy ordeal of betrayal and imprisonment and betrayal was God himself. God showed mercy to Joseph, not in making human situations comfortable, although that finally did happen, but in giving him the strength, the endurance, and the hope to continue to live and to be faithful to the God of Jacob and Jacob's father. Joseph knew what his mission was. That is, that God wanted to save Israel. So as Joseph told his brothers, to preserve your prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Within the same family, Jacob and Joseph looked to God for mercy. But the sons of Jacob, Joseph's brothers, looked to themselves and their own sin and found neither comfort nor mercy. And when mercy was offered, they couldn't grasp it, for mercy was not within them. But we all know that by nature, mercy is within none of us. Forgiveness is within none of us, and love is within none of us. So if one looks at self, the finger of accusation over sins, over failures, can only point to self, and from God's perspective, to dwell upon the self is to dwell upon decay and death. God came in the flesh to complete that which is only partially complete in Joseph's saving of his brothers. God came in history and brought Israel to fulfillment in Christ. And it is only through Christ that we find God's love and mercy and forgiveness for each of us. And it is only when we look at Christ that we find out that love, mercy, and forgiveness aren't just in us by nature, but that God had to come into the flesh, and that Christ had to die on the cross to redeem all of us. And it is only through hearing his word and through the eating of his body and blood that today we still continue to remain in that forgiveness, being assured of the forgiveness of our sins and being given strength to daily life. So we who are students, we now prepare and are being equipped for a ministry of word and sacrament within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we have to ask ourselves as we look at ourselves and deal with ourselves, in the matter of forgiveness and sin, do we deal with ourselves in an evangelical manner? When we see the sin that lurks at the doorposts of our being, do we meditate on that sin itself? How shall we react to the fruit of the sin that daily manifests itself in us, of our failures in the classroom, of our failures in the dorm, of our failures in our study, of our failures at home, of our failures in our fieldwork, church, or wherever? All of us then can see the sin which dips down upon us. But to find forgiveness and strength, we cannot be like Joseph's brothers, who just look at that sin and pointed fingers of accusation one at the other. To find forgiveness of sin, we cannot look to the testimony of self or the testimonies of others as they dwell in themselves. Nor we could plead with God in fear for forgiveness, but rather, knowing that Christ has redeemed us with a great and precious sacrifice, we are to go to his cross, and there place ourselves in God's perspective by placing ourselves under that cross. And there we find a brother, Jesus, who forgives us our sins. And thus, as Luther said, we ought to look into the wounds of Christ and see in them his love for us and our gratitude toward him, and that the sincere affection for Christ and rejection of self meditate upon our sin. Amen.